Hi, I'm Danae Alamano, and this is Living United.
And I'm Kev Jackson. Let's turn it back over to Danae Alamano, because she's just bringing in all kinds of people today. We're filled up the room. Danae, what's going on?
Yeah, we've got Derek Leach and Brett Leach here from, Brothers Group, 209, Red Stew, TRC, and they are our 2023 United Way campaign co-chairs this year.
Welcome, guys.
Hey, thank you.
Thanks.
So let's start out with the million-dollar question. Why are you the campaign co-chairs? You told me the answer before.
Yeah, absolutely.
let's expand on the answer.
Yeah, have at it.
Really, because Bemidji's near and dear to our hearts. We're born and raised here. We've experienced times that we had really great success, and we've had times where we needed the help of the community in our life. And being part of United Way, we knew that United Way really does impact your community well. It's a program we believe in, and it's easy to get behind.
Yeah, and the people that are involved with it now, with Danae and her staff, it's, how can you not support them? And you know that what their intentions are to do great, and it's fun. It's contagious to be part of that atmosphere.
Okay, and Danae, you were mentioning to me, you guys have a good history with these guys.
Yeah, I actually remember one of you, I don't know which one of you, called me like month in at the United Way asking what we did, because you were looking to partner too on different things. We went to college together, so old friends, and we've started a few different things with their help. I wanted Imagination Library, the Dolly Parton book program, to come to Bemidji, but it costs a lot more than anyone thinks. Everyone thinks, well, it's free. No, it's not. It's free to you as the end user, but it's a hefty bill, to whoever's organizing it. And Derek and Brett put together a really fun dinner that they host at Red Stew usually in the fall, and that started the program, raised the funds we needed to get it going, and still basically funds the program for our community. So that's a big deal. And then also, maybe you want to share why you wanted to start the Thanksgiving meals portion, because I jumped in after you started on that one.
It was based on need. I think you can look at it, especially that time of the year is really important to us as a family. All of our celebrations surround food and, potentially a bottle or two of wine. but we have fun, and then we enjoy each other's company, and there's always that true nature of Thanksgiving, of celebration with food and spending time together. And then you look out and you're like, I wonder if this experience is the same way for everyone in the community. And the answer is obviously not. There's not everybody that has that same ability to put a meal together or the means to be able to do it. And so we thought a really great opportunity to build these, meals for a family of eight, and then get them out into the community so that other people can have that same experience that we get to enjoy frequently.
Okay.
It's by far my favorite week of the year. We get to prep all the food in their kitchen with volunteers who are excited to help, and then all the families that come in the morning of Thanksgiving to go deliver the meals to the families who are signed up. It's pretty fantastic.
How many meals do you guys serve on Thanksgiving?
Well, last year we had the equivalent of feeding 800 people. So everything's packed in packages of feeding eight. But really, truthfully, we've ate those too, and you can probably feed like 15 because we're pretty hefty on our portions. But yeah, 800 people was what we were able to prepare last year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That, we're kicking around the idea going a little heavier this year.
Okay.
Making that many turkeys is the big challenge.
Especially when they show up frozen, it's really easy to have your hands go numb when you're trying to unpackage and take out all the extras inside of the turkeys.
I find it challenging to do one turkey.
Exactly. That's what I say. Like, people do it at home. They're like, this is a lot of work. I'm like, try to do that 99 more times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, just on behalf of the community, thanks for doing that. That's an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. Really is. And so then you just said, these guys, they like us, we like them. Let's put them front and center this year.
Yeah, they're fun. And the campaign co-chair job is a fun job. You get to come to the events. You get to talk about United Way and what it does for the community. And they've been so involved that there's little training that needs to be done to have them say, yeah, we're in. And that was pretty much it. I think that's what you said earlier. She just asked.
Yeah, that was the basis of it. Yeah. She's like, hey, you want to do this? And sometimes maybe we'll agree to things without even really knowing what we're working on. But in this scenario, it was a good chance for us to be committed to something great.
And she's super intimidating, and we didn't want to say no.
I don't think I've ever said no to her either, to be honest.
See, you're intimidated too,
Kat. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Before we get into campaign, though, we got to mention holiday gifts for kids, because there's a little bit of a challenge that these two have when they come help. You want to share, Derek?
There's not enough bikes.
Yeah, that's
a huge challenge for me personally.
Well, we have this. Well, we had like a personal competition of like who could give away more bikes, and I don't know if it's just me and my salesmanship where I've just lost that touch over the years, but I can't beg people to take bikes home with them. And he walks in and he's like, just had six bikes go out the door.
You gotta find that personal connection with people, and then you gotta manipulate them into knowing what to getting what you want. Be like, you wanted a Barbie for your daughter or a 10-speed bike.
Okay, the bike competition. Well, listen, we'll get into the campaign in a minute, but I just thought, you know, we should maybe find out about these guys and how they got to where they are. Because I remember, and this is going to make me feel even older than I normally feel, I remember when you guys were running the Green Mill and hiring my son's high school band for the lighthouse room.
I remember exactly what that was. That was a... More cowbell weekend.
Yes, it was.
Made up a party in the middle or end of April for just to have a party, and we put a like a Buick on the patio that had 250,000 miles on it, and asked people to hold their hand or their foot or something on it, and whoever could hang on to the Buick the longest could take it home. And we had the clip with Will Ferrell playing More Cowbell on every TV over and over than your son's band played that night. It was a blast.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that's when you guys started working together in the hospitality industry.
We had worked way before that.
We've
been working together, I think, even through times throughout high school or prior to that. If you're going all the way back to the origin, we'd work for my grandpa on his farm or his property and work together in that sense. So there's been a long history of that. Some of the stories are really good, and then there's times where, like, one of us is taking each other out on the expo line, you know, in the kitchen, where full-out tackle. And
So, like, if you went to Green Mill, they'd be like, those guys are excellent together. But if you went to when I was turning 21 and Brett was 19 at Applebee's, they're like, those two are trouble.
Yeah, I was kindly not asked to come back to the job after my break was over. So
how did you go from working in the hospitality industry to being owners in the hospitality industry?
Really, it fit as a thing for me. I'll let Brett kind of say for him, but it fit. It's just Brett touched on it earlier, and we talked about gathering around the Thanksgiving table and sharing a meal. And that's our connection to love. That's how we share it, is through food and sometimes wine and sometimes other drinks. But that's always kind of the conduit that's always present. So that, to me, really had me have an opportunity to share with what we feel for people. So hospitality is kind of describes how I feel about people perfectly.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, too, as you grow a little bit older and you start to realize that. I know that there's always that disclaimer, like, find something you're passionate about, and that's such a pressure put on you as a young person. But the reality is, when you continually do something over and over again, and then you start to have an understanding that, hey, I'm potentially good at this, and if I keep applying myself, I'll get better. There's in a lot of ways that's where the passion comes from, you know, in the sense that you just continue to develop your skills and working with people every day. And in our industry, it's really fun to get instantaneous feedback. You know whether or not if you're doing a good job right from the moment. Somebody will smile, or they'll thank you, or they'll tell you something's great. And you can't replace that with really anything else.
Mm-hmm. So when did you, was 209 the first business you bought? Was that the first
one? Yeah, that's correct.
That was the first one.
In the, what was... was Jean's Tap back in my college days, but
it was 209 when we bought it. But just a couple of years before that, it was Smiley's.
Okay.
Yep. And then before that, I'm not sure how many years it was. Jean's. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So you bought that in what year?
2011.
Yeah. Yep. 2011.
Okay. So 12 years you've been doing this.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've said that we've kind of, you know, and through some of the hardships, I think all business owners, they know that with a partner there's always challenges, but to do it with a family member, I think, is more challenging. There are greater things that come out of it, but then through COVID too and stuff, we kind of gave ourselves a high five at some point last year and was like, wow, we're actually at this point in our careers. That's amazing.
Wow. Okay. And have been helping you, Danae, in a number of ways, and now they're the campaign co-chairs. So let's give you the floor here a little bit and tell us what's going to be coming up in the next few months.
Sure. Well,
where we will see them.
Yes. Purpose first of the campaign is that the campaign for community, we raise funds, and then we have a vetting process of allocating the funds out to local nonprofits that are doing work for people in basic needs, health, and education. So everyone needs food and shelter. Everyone, if they're healthy and they're educated, have an opportunity to thrive. And so right now, or this last year, we supported 29 local nonprofits through the campaign and raised $701,000 for our community, which is growing and great. We have a goal of 725 this year, and our faces are right here in the room. You can't see their face in the podcast, but Derek and Brett will help us with the upcoming events already with on August 31st, the wine and beer tasting out at Rutgers.
Okay. And that, yeah, that's the first of many things for people to keep tabs on and be a part of.
Right, yep. We're going to kick off campaign with a Backpack Buddies food packing at Lukens North mid-September, and then have our trap shooting tournament, our restaurant week, movie days, and Women United all wrapped into October. And then we'll move into Thanksgiving and the Radiothon and child abuse and holiday gifts for kids in during the holiday season.
And speaking on behalf of the Radiothon, which I'm a very actively a part of, we will be there in the afternoon. That will be our afternoon home for the Radiothon.
That's going to be fun.
1 to 6 and maybe beyond. Well, we'll just leave it at that. But guys, thanks for doing that, by the way. I'm really looking forward to the good food I'm going to take part in while I do the Radiothon there in the afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun to have you guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I know you talked about community. You talked about being involved in Bemidji, loving Bemidji. From a business standpoint, what's your driving philosophy from a business standpoint?
Well, that's a big question, huh? What's your driving philosophy? I believe that we summarize it in one word usually, and it's over-deliver. We look to always take something that might be kind of the standard and figure out a way that we can just do it slightly better and make it more impactful for our customers.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that really shows up in, you know, kind of what we put into the facilities too. I always get this mixed feeling when somebody walks into one of our restaurants and they're like, it doesn't feel like you're in Bemidji. And I'm like, is that a compliment or not? You know, and that's kind of the way I look at it. And I'm like, well, no, I'm like, change your expectation, you know, in the sense of, you know, it's a great community. It's growing. We have wonderful people that are here, despite how chilly it is for quite a few of those months.
Basically, the weather
outdoors is awesome here, you know. And so there's very few things that you're going to find a better place than this.
Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting you say over-deliver, because I kind of feel like that's what the United Way does.
Absolutely.
All the time. You know.
That's why they're an awesome partner for us to have. You said that and it hit me, you know, another over delivery that North Country Food Bank is a partner of ours, called about a project they have looking to partner with a business, a restaurant, to be able to provide meals to the day shelter. And one phone call to these guys and you're the partner, or the hope for the partnership. Mm-hmm. I know you've been talking, but you never say no. You always ask more questions and look at how you can make something happen.
Though, everything you've ever asked, though, just made sense. I mean, it was kind of easy to find a way to say yes when you believe in it. So if you got your why right, you always figure out how. So,
Do you guys ever get in trouble for never saying no?
No,
in work or in life?
I'm thinking more life.
No. We've grown a lot in that now, where we're, I guess, a little better about like biting off more than we can chew. Where you're like, hey, did you just give yourself another job? I did. Okay, when are you going to find time for that?
Take it out of the sleep.
I've been known to get in trouble for that occasionally.
Yeah.
All right, Danae, anything else we want to talk about today before we wrap it up?
Just a big thank you to you guys for doing this. You're welcome. Fun faces to have on the campaign this year.
And the first time we will see them is on the in-roll is on the 20th?
The 31st.
The 31st, the wine and beer tasting. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. We have Derek and Brett Leach, the Leach brothers, and 209, and what else do you guys have? You have Red Stews?
Yep, Red Stew and a TRC, which we just rebranded back in May 9th, we reopened. Really kind of connect to what that community up north wanted a little bit more, which brought on the rebranding.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we do a little bit of catering once in a while on the side.
Mm-hmm. And run United Way campaigns, too.
Yeah.
So, Derek, Brett, Danae, thanks for being here today.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Danae, we will probably meet up again down the road with another one of these great podcasts.
We will.